Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sudha Goswami said, "Thus the sage amongst the gods, Narad, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the rishi amongst the brahmanas, Veda Vyas." Purport. Narad was smiling because he well knew the great sage Veda Vyas and the cause of his disappointment. As he will explain gradually, Veda Vyasa's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Narad knew the defect, and it was confirmed by the position of Vyas. Om Agyanata Marandasya Ginandjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantiham Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyaibacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So please excuse my inabilities, stepping in at the last minute, require your blessings, try and say something on this quite short purport. I kind of joined in Sydney, Australia, and then was one of the ex-zonal acharyas, Bhavananda Prabhu. He'd left for many years and he came back. Anyway, I mentioned him because he once said, why, he complained. He likes to complain about things. He has opinions, but he knows a lot of what Prabhupada says. So he made a point. He said, why is it that you give a class on a purport that has two sentences? Why don't you just carry on reading the Bhagavata? So in a moment like this, I feel, oh, this would be very helpful for me to get more material to talk about. Anyway, we're talking here about, well, there's a contrast here. There's the smiling of Narad Muni, and there's the lamenting of Srila Vyasadeva. And before I talk about this, the last time I gave class, I think it was the last time, I was discussing the glorious position of Shukadeva Goswami. Hare Krishna Vishnu Prabhu. I always know you're going to come at this time. Very regular. I've been away for a while. People ask me where I've been. Well, I've been working, but I went to Dover. It's nice, beautiful white cliffs. And I was kind of scared. Got children running around these tall cliffs. It's amazing that if these tall cliffs, it inspires people in a bad way to commit suicide. And I read on the internet, there's one man, he's 250 times he's been at the bottom, you know, collecting the pieces. But he's a very heroic person. And there was some occasions where he's had to talk people out of jumping off the edge. There was one man, he was in his car, and he was revving up, he was ready to kill himself. So this man, he gets called, he's on call, and he gets called out when there's an emergency. So he came to the spot, and he persuaded the man to lower the window. And then the man said, he started talking to him, and the man said, "Oh, I'm going through a divorce." So he's really lamenting. And he goes, "I've got no money. I can't even buy any Christmas presents for my children." So that's the reason why he's about to drive off the cliff. So this man started to talk to him and said, "Look, what's more important to your children, Christmas presents or you?" And he started softening him up. Finally, the man, he burst into tears, got out of the car and gave him a hug. Nice story. Not all stories are like that. Sometimes the person just drives off the cliff. And he told one interesting story. That there was a woman, she was on the edge, ready to jump, and he's approaching, trying to talk to her, and then she jumped. But as she jumped, he grabbed her hand, and then she's dangling off the end of the cliff. So then this policeman came and sat on his legs, because he's going to slide off the cliff as well, and he's described for 15 minutes, they were struggling to try and keep this woman from falling off the cliff, and she was swearing at him, saying, "Let me go, let me go." Just think how hellish her consciousness was. Finally, he managed to somehow grab her and pull her off, save her from killing herself. Now, that's extreme lamentation in this material world. What is the nature of Srila Vyasadeva's lamentation? Is it real? Is it a game? Is it real? What do you reckon? Okay, who is Vyas? Vyas is a post, it's not a person, okay? You know that Vyas, there's a different Vyas in every age. Yes. Yes, very good. The Vyas in this age is Lord Narayan himself. There is a Dandavats article on this, by the way. It's not one of those things that I think you'll read in Prabhupada's books, but someone's researched it. And generally, Vyasadeva is Sanjeeva, who takes the post. But in this particular millennium, this Chaturvyuha, Srila Vyasadeva of this Kali Yuga is actually Lord Narayan himself. Pardon? Aishwarya Bhav for Krishna. Thank you. So, what a special millennium we live in. We have the original Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga is the original. We also have Vyasas as actually Vishnu. Although, what does it matter? Devotee of Vishnu and Vishnu, Krishna as Samata Hoiti Bada Bhaktapad. The position of devotee is non-different from the position of Krishna. In fact, it's greater. So it doesn't matter whether he's a Jiva or a Vishnu, but it just so happens that in this particular millennium, he's Vishnu himself. So that would suggest that the lamentation, well, that would definitely tell us that the lamentation of Srila Vyasadeva is not material, because how can Vishnu experience material lamentation? That's one point. Is it real? Well, it's a lila. Does the Lord enter his lilas? Of course he does. Does Krishna ever lament? Yes, he laments from separation from the gopis. So lamentation is there when the avatars come, so it can be considered a real lamentation. It can also be considered a game. You know, is he just playing the part? Srila Vyasadeva knows very well he's Vishnu, he's omniscient, so therefore how can he possibly have any perplexity? How can he be bewildered? There's different ways to look at this. There's also the lamentation of the pure devotee. This is a different type of lamentation. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama sloka vikrami yachunvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu padi padi. The transcendentalists are never satisfied. That's a nice type of dissatisfaction. To be never satisfied, why? Because the appetite for transcendental knowledge is infinite. Therefore, however much the sages try to taste the rasa, never enough. That's another type of lamentation. So we have so many categories of lamentation. This one is a spiritual lamentation of Srila Vyasadeva, and it's there. His purpose is to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and also to glorify Shukadev Goswami. I mentioned before, there's a verse later on describing how Shukadev Goswami is the moon amongst the stars. And it's described they are Raja Rishis, Brahma Rishis, Deva Rishis present in the assembly, but no one got the same amount of respect as Shukadev Goswami. Even his guru and his Param Guru are present, but he was given the most respect. I mentioned the different types of Rishis in this verse. There's the Vipra Rishi. Unto the Rishi amongst the Brahmanas is the term used here. So there's so many different Rishis, but the position of Shukadev Goswami as the devotee, that is very, very special. So we also must remember the special position. Why is it special? Because Bhakti is special. Bhakti conquers even Krishna. Shri Krishna Karshani, one of the symptoms of Bhakti. Bhakti conquers Krishna. So we should always remember that Shukadeva Goswami, he takes the special position in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Shiva, Vaishnavayam Natashambhu, the greatest Vaishnav, he says, Aham Vedmi Shuko Veti, Vyaso Veti Naveti Va, Bhakcha Bhagavatam Grahyam Nabuja Na Chatikaya. Lord Shiva is saying, I know the meaning of Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami knows the meaning. Srila Vyasadeva may know, he may not know. Bhakcha Bhagavatam Grahyam, but it's understood through Bhakti. Nabuja, not by being a smart aleck. Natikaya, not by writing a commentary, trying to be special. Okay? So by Bhakti alone is the Bhagavatam understood, just like Bhakcha Mamma Bhajanati. Krishna alone is known by Bhakti. So Narad Muni is smiling. Isn't it funny how the incarnations, the representatives of God, when they come and there's a problem, they smile. When Krishna, Arjuna's lamenting, Krishna's smiling, right? The battle of Kurukshetra. He smiles as Arjuna breaks down in tears. So here we see Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he's lamenting, Narad Muni's smiling. So the sages, they're very, very deep. You cannot understand the mood. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigya Nabujaya. No one can understand the nature, the words, the gestures of the pure devotee. Yanra Chitti Krishna Prema Koraye Udaya Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigya Nabujaya. When one has prema, love of God, one cannot understand. So Narad Muni, he's funny because he's smiling. Generally, when someone laments, we lament with them, right? It's compassion, it's nice, it's a nice mood. But other times we see here the opposite happens. Someone's lamenting, you start laughing, you start smiling. It's like an insult almost, right? But this is something spiritual going on here, something mystical. So Narad Muni, he's very deep and he has this enigmatic smile. So what exactly is wrong? What is the cause of this lamentation? Well, we've covered it in previous chapters. We've not insufficiently glorified the pastimes of the Lord. This is the defect in what Śrīla Vyāsadeva has written so far. And this, because it's been discussed over the last month, a couple of times I've asked the question, because it's come up, you know, why lamentation? Because the Bhagavad Gita is already written. What's wrong with the Bhagavad Gita? Why is he not satisfied? And I have different thoughts on this. Here's one possible answer, and it's from the previous chapter, text 31. The term used is na prayena nirupataha, means you have almost, prayena means almost. You've not sufficiently, kimva bhagavata dharma na prayena nirupataha. You've almost not properly explained Bhagavad Dharma. But the word prayena is significant. It doesn't mean that everything he's written is devoid of Krishna consciousness. It means prayena, mostly. Most of the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna. And in the Bhagavad Gita it said, the Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. So, mostly, but there are exceptions. And the Bhagavad Gita is the exception. Because if you read the last 18th chapter, you'll find the term Harishyame cha muhur muhuhu. You know this term? How the Bhagavatam is relished over and over again. Harishyame means I take pleasure at every moment. Harishyame cha muhur muhu. Why? Because the conversation is very sacred. Here does it go? Samvadam imam. Anyway. The sacred conversation is called Samvadam Imam, and it's Punya, the Punya Samvad. The Bhagavad Gita is described as Punya Samvad. It's a very special spiritual Punya, therefore Hrishyami Chad Muhur Muhu. So we understand that all our scriptures, there's nothing in that Prabhupada gave us that isn't relishable at every step, not just at first, like material knowledge. Material knowledge at first, very relishable, but in the end, not so relishable. Respect is very important. Here we have the term brihat shravaha, which means greatly respected. Which is not actually translated in the translation. It's not there in it. The word respect isn't mentioned. But it's in the nominative case, which means that it corresponds to, it could be Vyasadeva or it could be Narad Muni, but according to the grammatical case, my understanding at least, that it's referring to Narad Muni. So any Sanskrit pundits can correct me there. Because it's, anyway. So, I was watching a lecture just yesterday about the dangers of disrespecting devotees. And it was actually about deity worship, the class. And the speaker, it was Hari Parshad Prabhu he was speaking in Vrindavan. He's one of the pundits. He's on the Shastric Advisory Council. He's very learned. So he was discussing deity worship. So deity worship is particularly beneficial for us if we're neophytes, because For neophytes, it's easier to respect the deity than it is to respect the devotees. We have this famous statement, Archayam eva haraye yapujam shradaye hati na cha bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smritaha. The prakrita bhakta, or the materialistic devotee, is one who gives respect to the deity but does not respect others, especially the devotees. Na cha bhakteshu, does not respect the devotee. So this is a defect, which means that Kanishtha adhikaris are sometimes referred to as Vaishnav Prai, which means they're not actually Vaishnavs, they're almost Vaishnavs, they're on the doorstep. So one of the values of deity worship is it's easy for these people to advance through that process because they have respect for the deity, but they don't respect the devotee. Now, why does someone respect the deity and not the devotee? Now, we have the statement, Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmad parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. That the highest form of worship is worship of Lord Vishnu, but higher even than that is worship of the devotee. Actually, this verse is interesting because it has the word tadiya. Tadiya means things in connection with Vishnu. Vishnu's paraphernalia, Shrimati Tulsi Maharani, the devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Worship those things, and that is even higher than worship of Vishnu. Now, when Prabhupada translates this verse, he generally translates it as tadiya, meaning devotee. But I did see recently, which I was wondering in the back of my head, does it mean more than that? Because I know that tadiya means these other things, and I did find a translation where tadiya means not just the devotee. But generally, the devotees is the main thought we have when we have the term tadiyanam samarchanam, worship of the devotee. So, the Kanishtha, he has his reasons. You know, everyone has their justification for their behavior. So if you ask a Kanishtha, why do you have so much respect for the deity and not for the devotees? And then they will think, or they will say, or they will think, but he's God, he's perfect. The devotees have faults. You know, this is why we find it difficult to worship devotees. They have faults. And unless you're pure, you will have faults, and it's true. So what's interesting in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Rupa Goswami, counters this argument. And what he says is Krishna has faults. Krishna has so many faults. And he starts to go through the faults of Krishna. Krishna's a rascal. You know, Prabhupada said, Krishna's a rascal. For Krishna, he's a thief. He's a rascal. You can give so many faults of Krishna. There is a nice statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yaichiyami paraspara viruda dharma shraya. Taichi radha prema sada viruda dharma maya. I think that could be it. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. The meaning of this statement is, Krishna says, just as I am full of mutually contradictory characteristics, in the same way Radha's love is full of contradictions. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami gives three examples. Who knows the three examples of how Radharani's love is contradictory? It has contradictory qualities. Anyone? No? One is, it is the greatest. Her love is the greatest. It has no room for expansion. And yet, it is still expanding. Yeah? Radharani's love is so pure, it cannot increase. It is the maximum love, maxed out love, and yet it's still increasing. Another one is, she is the greatest, and yet she is devoid of pride. Yeah? How can you be so great and still be devoid of pride? It's quite amazing, isn't it? And what's the third one? Anyone remember? I can't remember myself now. Her love is, oh yes, it's Vyamya Vakra Vyamya Vyavahar. Her behavior, she is the purest, and yet she is the most crooked in her dealings. But her love is based on purity. So if you do crooked things out of purity, then that can be forgiven. Sometimes we see, even in our society, some people, they do crooked things, cheat the devotees for a good cause. And if it's a good cause, we forgive them. Some people, you know, maybe take donations and use it for something. Prabhupada would often take donations and use it for something else. And his guru did the same. He would say, we're building a temple, and he would collect donations. All his brahmacharis would go out door to door collecting donations. And then he'd decide, we're going to have this big theistic exposition. And he would just, sorry, exhibition, and he would just spend all the money. He'd spend all the money that was collected for the temple on some preaching event. And then his collectors would have to go and collect again. And what would they say? You know, how would they try and justify it? So that's crooked dealings, but it's purity. Knowing the desire of the Lord, out of purity, out of pure desire to serve the Lord, one may spend money in other ways, even though one is collected for a different purpose, you see. So these are some of the contradictions. So in this way, Rupa Goswami, he says, so you do not need to worry. If you see faults in the devotees, don't worry. Krishna has faults too. In other words, respect the devotee, you see. And respect for the devotee is really an important message in this part of the Bhagavatam, because we're not just talking about Srimad Bhagavatam here. We're talking about Shukadeva Goswami, how he's so wonderful. Sukamukad Amrita Drava Samyutam. The Bhagavatam is nectar because it is emanated from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. So even though Srila Vyasadeva is already, he compiles the Bhagavatam, when Shukadeva Goswami hears it, which is discussed later on in this canto, it is nectar even for Srila Vyasadeva, even though he's the compiler or he's the seer of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavayam Priyam. It is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And as the Bhagavatam begins, Dharma Prajita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranatam Satam Vejam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimvaparayarishvaro Sajo Rija Varujate Kritibis Susrushubis Tatkshanat. This Bhagavatam Kimvaparay means there is no need for any other scripture. It is perfect in itself. And it is Mahamuni Kriti. It has been compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. And Sajo Rija Varujati. It is Ishvaro Sajo Rija Varujati. It means that just by reciting and hearing the Bhagavatam and contemplating and remembering the Bhagavatam, then the Lord, who cannot be captured, is captured. Hridi. Hridi means in the heart. Avarujati. He's captured. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was all very humble about his position. He wouldn't advertise himself as a pure devotee. But one time he said something which I find very amazing. He said, I have captured Krishna in my heart and I am keeping him here for you. This is the pure devotee. So when you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Prabhupada, that is different because he's captured Krishna and he can give Krishna to us. That's what he was saying. So there's a lovely verse about the topmost devotee, Visrijati Hridaya Nayasya Shakshad Harer Avashabihito Pyagau Ganash Pranaya Rasanaya Dutangi Padma Sabhavati Bhagavat Pradana Uktaha. This is from the 11th canto. It says that the topmost devotee, he has captured Krishna Prayana Rasanaya by the ropes of love. Even though he may even speak imperfectly, even though his chanting might not be perfect, he still captured Krishna with the ropes of love. So that person is the Bhagavat Pradana, the topmost devotee. So the last time I gave class, I mentioned this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eka Bhagavata Bada, Bhagavata Shastra, Ar Bhagavata Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. The book Bhagavata is Bada, the great Bhagavata, the devotee Bhagavat, he is Bhakti Rasa Patra, which means he holds the Bhakti Rasa in his heart. Therefore, when you hear from such a person, you will be infused. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti rich karna rasayana kata tajyoshina shashva bhavargavartmane shradaratya bhakti anukramishyate. That when we hear the Krishna kata from the pure devotee, satam prasanga, prasanga means very powerful speech, and mamavirya samvido, the words of Krishna's lila, they are very powerful. Then, shraddha ratya bhakti anukramishyate, we develop faith, devotion, which then develops into bhakti, which in this case means prema. So that elevation of Krishna consciousness, it comes about through hearing from the devotee. So Srila Prabhupada, he would often quote this verse, and it's from the fifth canto, I think, or the third canto. Which one it is? Anyone remember? You know what? I think it's 325:25. Is that right? Thank you. We have a Bhakti Vaibhav teacher with us. No? Bhakti Shastra? Just remembering. Okay, you should do Bhakti Vaibhav next. So 325:25. This verse, very important, because Srila Prabhupada, he would often give the example, the word virya is in the verse, and he would say, when the speaker is viryavan, actually Prabhupada has a strong Bengali accent. I used to listen to tapes, and I thought he was saying bijvan. I was thinking he has the seed, some devotional bhakti lata bij, because he gives the analogy. He says, just as when the man has potency, then when the man is in contact with a woman, there is pregnancy. So I was thinking, bij, the seed. But actually, according to the transcribers of the lectures, it's viryavan, and virya is in the verse. Virya means prowess or potency, so power. So when the speaker has power, then the listener will be affected. Just as if the man has potent seed, then there's pregnancy. So we have to try our best to change people. Those that were at Mangalarti will remember what was read this morning. What good will your little talk do? But if they take a book and read the book, they're like, it can change their lives. So if you don't feel that you have potency, then don't worry, we have these books and they have potency. So if you're just the postman, then you're doing your job. Then you'll get the blessings of the parampara and you'll have potency too. See, how do you become a powerful book distributor? Well, just start off by being a non-powerful one and you'll get the blessings of the parampara. And you'll become empowered. So just, we may not be able to change people with our words because we don't have the power. But we should have faith that the books have the power. We should also have the faith that the devotees who are more qualified, they have the power. And there are always some present on the planet. So we're in safe hands. We just have to pray to have their association and pray that we have the blessings of the parampara. And the conscious blue. And we'll just, it's almost past, so I'll just open up for comments or questions.